Morning, everyone. It's good to be back. Bless you. Oh, we are quiet this morning, aren't we? Eh? That's not like you at all. Thanks, Steve. Bless you. Yeah, it's a privilege and honor to be with you this morning to minister God's word. I do apologize that I'm not running a PowerPoint this morning, and there's a reason for that, because I really want to focus on God's word and not sort of be distracted with by trying to make sure I've got the right slide up, etc. So just bear with me this morning. So we're going back to old school, old style preaching this morning. Pastor Tony spoke to me a few weeks ago and just said, you know, just feel whatever God lays on your heart. But he also said that, is it possible to touch on a little bit about my experience with the Gypsy Revival, and I said, yeah, I will do that. But in particular, this week, as I've been praying and preparing for this word, I'm very convicted, I think that's the best word, convicted, that I've got a word, a prophetic word for you as individuals. I think it's up to the eldership and Pastor Tony to discern if this is a word for the church. But in particular, I have a word for each of you as individuals on your journey. The theme for this word that God's laid on my heart is availability, being available. You know, when we think about availability, it's not actually about standing on a chair and waving your arms and saying, look, God, I'm here, I'm available, because God knows exactly where you are. It's not even about this availability is where you have, shall I say, specific gifts. And you say, look, here's my gift, Lord, it's honed and I'm now available. That you've been through years of preparation to get where you are now. And you say, look now, Lord, I'm available. It's not even this availability. It's not even about a spirituality, being so spiritual that, you know, now you're mature. You're no longer on milk, you're on meat, and you're mature, and you've got things all nailed down. And so now, Lord, I can say that I'm really available. Use me. And so it's not even about an anointing. You know, we can talk about anointing. I believe, God, you've anointed me to do this, and you've anointed me to minister in this way, etc., etc. But being available is not dependent upon your anointing. And so I want to say to every single one of you, God requires of us, and myself too, is to be available. And that might think, that is quite straightforward, Roy. You know, we're just available. Well, being available is not about seeking God's will. I say that a little bit again. Being available is not knowing what God's will is for your life. Because right now, maybe you're not sure what God's will is for your life. You may not even be sure what you're doing next week, let alone next year. And you're saying, Lord, I just don't know where I fit, Lord. I just don't. Even that is, it doesn't challenge about being available. And so what the Holy Spirit is really laid on me this morning is about the purpose of being available and what that looks like for us today. What does that, this availability, what does it look like for you tomorrow morning when you start your week? Either it going off to school or doing the school run or going to work, or if you're retirement, you might want to just go for a walk or just have a slow morning. Whatever your Monday looks like, you know, what is this concept of, you know, I heard yesterday that I've got to be available. So what does that look like? Well, if you've got your Bibles, we're going to go to a few verses. We're going to go to Luke 17. Please forgive me that I haven't got it up on PowerPoint, but just a few verses in Luke 17. And then we're going to jump into Joshua and just a few verses. So it's not a big reading. It's just to get the tone of what the Holy Spirit is wanting to give to you this morning in terms of that personal revelation of where you're at. Irrespective of your age or your culture, color, your skin, where you are right now in 2024, here sitting in Beckenham, what does this availability look like for me? And what can it look like tomorrow? So Luke chapter 17, and we're just breaking in on verse 26, and we're just going to run through to verse 29, so just a few verses. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Now look, you can relax. I'm not going to preach about the last days this morning, but I just want you to just look at that word there. It says, you know, they were married until, that important word, until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Also, I'm not preaching about God's judgment this morning, so you can relax. And so moving back into Joshua, we're going way back into the Old Testament now, Joshua chapter 6. And I'm just going to pickle through a few verses because you're very familiar about the walls of Jericho. So I'm taking it as read that you know the story well. So I'm just going to remind us of just a few verses about this event around the destruction of Jericho. So we're going to break in at verse 3 and verse 4 of Joshua 6. You shall march around the city, all the men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Verse 10. Now Joshua commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth. Look, there's that word there. Until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout. Verse 15. And it came to pass on the 7th day, then they rose early about dawning of the day, and they marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. And on that day only they marched around the city 7 times. And it was on the 7th time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, and Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you this city. Verse 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the walls fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Amen. You're very familiar with that story. But here we have this little word, until. It's a short little English word that we can throw in everywhere so often. But I want to say this, and this is, if you forget everything else that I share this morning because you go to your happy place and you don't listen, I want to say to you is this: God always has an until. Right? God, Heavenly Father, always, always, always has an until. So when we talk about availability, we must be available until God's until. You see, over here, we can be, well, I'm available, Lord. I'm available. I'm anointed. I've got faith. I know the word. I pray every day. You know, I tithe. I press all the right buttons. And I would say, yeah, I'm ready. I'm available, Lord. Just use me in whatever shape or form. Use me. And so we can, right at this point, be full of passion. We can be sincere. You know, we can be individuals that are so bursting with wanting to be used for God and bring glory to his name. Now, of course, that's all commendable. But you see, God's until might be way down the road here. This is God's until. This is when God turns up and does his stuff. Where the purposes of God, your purpose, your destiny, all comes together with God's until. But what can happen from that point over there to this point, you and I can get distracted. We can get discouraged. We can get busy. Something might come into our life that, okay, that's all right. That can be there. That's okay. It doesn't come in conflict with availability. It's there. But by the time we get to God's until, I just wonder, are we still walking in obedience? You see, availability is anchored in obedience. Yes, you've got to have fortitude. Yes, there is an element of discipline, and I'm not going to sort of talk about them. I just want you to understand that maybe you're sitting there this morning and thinking, well, I don't know what my purpose is. I'm past X amount of years. I mean, if I was 20 again, yeah, I would do A, B, C, and D, and maybe even with cream on top with a strawberry. I would really make a meal of it. But you think, well, I'm not too sure anymore, you know. Lost opportunities, you know. But if God wants me available, I'd be available. Okay, sirrah, sirrah. Well, the Holy Spirit this morning is wanting really to press into this area, because I want to tell you now, we are coming very close to God's big until. There's a big until coming, a very big until. And I'm going to just pour a few things out this morning to say that we cannot afford to be distracted or busy with other things. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want you to think that, oh, Roy's a, you know, he's a sport. We can't have a hobby. We can't have interest. I mean, yesterday, for example, I went to a men's breakfast at our church yesterday morning, and then me and my son, we just jumped in the car, drove out, right out to Coleridge, and we walked through around the valley up to Lake Ida, and we did some fishing, okay? And we was back by about 7 o'clock yesterday evening. Now, I don't feel guilty that I've done that. Roy, you should have been in your prayer closet praying for this morning. You're coming to our church. You shouldn't have been out fishing yesterday. You thinking that way? Well, you see, God's been preparing me all week. And what I'm trying to communicate here is that it's okay to have interests, but what can happen is that God's until is going to come, and if there is his until where God says it's now, or I'm stepping in now, I'm going to turn up and do my stuff now, we cannot be busy with other things because we can miss God's until. Does that make sense? And so let me just put it this way. We may be saying this to the Lord this morning in our hearts. Lord, when will it end? What I'm going through, and while I've acted you, when will it end? When are you going to do that miracle? Well, until. Okay? There is an until. Okay? Will it end? Yes. If you're going through a season, by nature being a season, it's got a beginning and an end. That's why it's a season, yeah? Come on, this is not rocket science. I'm sorry if I'm sounding patronizing, I know what I mean, but sometimes when you're in it and you think, Lord, when's it going to end? When's it going to... It doesn't feel like a season because you think it's never going to end. And you're thinking, well, now that's gone wrong and that's not happening. And you say, Lord, when is it going to end? Until. When will there be a change? Until. God has an until. When will I see my breakthrough? That's a big one. You know, Roy, I've been praying, I've been fasting, I've been standing on the word, I've been claiming it, naming it, binding it, loosing it, and doing all spiritual somersaults. When am I going to see my breakthrough? Until. When will I see the power of God manifest? Oh, that one's close to our hearts, Pastor Steve, eh? Hey, we love the power of God, eh? Who loves to see the Holy Spirit turn up big time and do some powerful things, yeah? Yeah, of course you. I generally would say that you would love to. Well, yeah, of course, exciting stuff. You never get bored with God doing signs and wonders, yeah? Healing people and all sorts. Well, when will we see the power of God? Well, I cannot answer that for you. All right? I can't answer that, but I know this. God has an until. There is an until coming. And so just very quickly this morning, out of our reading, I'm going to just draw three events where I believe the Holy Spirit wants to give us an insight, some observations, where we can clearly see that being available is anchored in obedience. Now, I'm not talking about being religious and the letter of the law. You know, every time some talk about obedience, you think, oh, this is going to be heavy. It's obedience. I've got to do this. Go and do that. You know, no. Availability, it's about being obedient, because I don't know what God is going to do tomorrow. You know, we can only prophesy in part, says Paul. We cannot have the full counsel of God. We can try to pray and say, Lord, I don't know, you know, what you're doing with me. And I know that you've got it all in hand, because I believe in your sovereignty. But I honestly don't know what it's going to look like in the coming days. All we've got to do is be obedient and be available. So, have I arrived at this? No, because I'm still learning it. 40 years on of being in ministry in some areas, sometime full-time, etc., etc., I'm still learning about availability. I'm still learning about availability because it's not like a quick fix. Oh, just be available and you'll be all right. They'll all come together. Well, let's just start off about God's until. You see, continuing to be available until God's until. Now, I don't know what God's until is, and I don't even know when God's until is going to happen. Yeah, I don't. But I want to say in your life, your personal life, there is an until. And when it happens, you're going to say, now this is God. You won't need convincing. You won't need your pastor or friend to say, do you know what? That's God doing that. Because you will know, yep, this is God. And I could use numerous examples this morning about where I have gone, wow, now that's God. That's definitely not man. That's definitely not me. That's definitely not the pastor. It's definitely not the wife. It's not definitely the boss. This is God. Boom. So the first one, dear old Noah. We know the story so well, eh? Noah, bless his cotton socks. He spent a lot of time doing a practical thing. Now, I'm not going to unpack it too big because you know the story. And Noah is told by God, you know, to build this ark. And the blueprint is clear. God tells him what timber to use. It wasn't any old kind of timber like New Zealand pine or something like that. It was a particular timber, but also God, Yahweh, gives him the measurements. And then we see that Noah with his three sons, and possibly maybe Noah's sons' wives and possibly the wife, you know, put their hand to the plow as well, and they all put in together. And so they start to build this massive big oil tanker. That's roughly what they were building. It wasn't a little yacht. It wasn't a little boat. It was a major building project. Sometimes where you think you need a couple of civil engineering companies to get this project on. So anyway, so you know the story. But scholars have said that this project, from starting to finish, took about 120 years. It's not a weekend job, is it? It's not a bit of DIY. Now, put yourself in Noah's sandals, for example. Noah, he starts, and then if you fast forward 5 years, they're still cutting timber. Fast forward another 10 years, they're still cutting timber. 20 years, now they've got a bit of timber, now they're starting to sort out the timber. They're putting it all together. Okay. Are they available? Yes. 20 years in, we've got a Noah who's available, and he's getting blisters on his hands, if he hadn't already got them. And he's got his three sons doing this project. Hey, they're doing it. They're working. They're grafting. Hey, they're still available. Hey, come on, boys. Let's start the day. They're available. Next day, they're available. Next day, they're available. And time, weekend, month follows month, year follows year. They're still available. Come on, if we was in that, or you think, oh, I think I'll go and have a sabbatical. I think I'm due one after so many years. Let me go and chill for 7 years somewhere. You know, I've put 70 years in, so come on. Now, we know that, hey, that there's a plan here. You know, this is not just God scratching an itch and saying, look, come on now, I want to see how good you can build an ark. And see, sometimes God will ask you to do something that when you initially look at it, it doesn't look very spiritual because it's practical. You're doing a practical thing, or to some degree, it's a mundane thing, and you do it, and you do it, and you keep doing it, and you're getting no applause, you're getting no affirmation, you're getting no sort of recognition, whatever that looks like, and you just keep working, and nothing is happening. All you're doing is just carrying on. See, every time you're doing that, you are available. By very fact of being obedient, that you still make those cakes, that you still go and help Mrs. So-and-so, or you still go and do that job, which, yes, anybody could do, but you, God put it on your heart that you should go and do this, and you're doing it, and you're doing it, and you're doing it, and you keep on doing it. Oh, Roy, I've been doing it for 5 years now. You might not talk like that. That's just me. That's an impersonation of my mum, by the way. Okay. So, on a serious note, we get to the stage where God's until is coming. Now, you know, because you know the story. But Noah and the boys didn't really know God's until. The until was God's going to judge this world. He's going to do the business. Peter tells us that when Noah was doing that, God waited patiently. Have you got this? God waited patiently for Noah. I.e. that God didn't keep coming down to say, Noah, by the way, you're 3 weeks behind time. Do you know you're running 2 years late? It's going to be a bit messy, you know. I'm going to judge this world, but you're running behind. You know, I think you're going to have to do some overtime, fellas. Of course not. Noah was not working, right, on some kind of project that had to finish on a certain day. We are told that God waited patiently. Come on, Noah, you do it. And every day, Noah is available. Every day, his sons are available. And they just practically, they work, work, work. And it seems that there was no end to it. Okay, so there will be a moment where they go to start putting on the roof, you know? And the moment when they start to do the ramp that goes up where the door is. So where are we going with this? Well, you know the story, but here we go. Way back in Genesis 7, something happens. And I think this is important for you and I when we think that we've gone the extra mile. You know, we've got fatigue. We've done that job. As I say, it might be what you see is a chore. You just keep doing it. There's no recognition. There's no affirmation. You're just doing it because, hey, somebody's got to do it, so I will do it. But I'm doing it unto you, Lord. I'm available and I'm doing it. And you just keep on doing it. But there comes a time where God has his until. And so in Genesis chapter 7, right, we see a snapshot of this until. Oh. You say, Roy, the until is when the rains come, when God pours out his wrath. That's the until. Yes, yes, yes. I get it. But here in verse 4 of Genesis 7, for after seven more days. So here we have it. He's completed the work. The ark is finished. All the animals are in. God's supernaturally brought them. I don't believe for 1 minute Noah had to go around the countryside trying to get all these animals. I believe the Holy Spirit just brought the animals to the ark and they just went on. I believe that with all my heart. But anyway, putting that to one side, this verse is quite clear that the job was done. Noah finished the work. It was completed. Everybody was on board. And it says, and after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth. And I will destroy from the face of all the living things that I have made. This is so important for us in the days we're living in. There is a period of grace that God gives. He gives you and I a period of grace. He gives the church a period of grace. He gives the backslider a period of grace. On that wall there, you've got, on that whiteboard, you've got all the prodigals. Well, there's another sermon there bubbling in my heart already, just looking at the prodigals. You know, you look at the prodigals, there is a period of grace that God has extended to all those prodigals. Yeah? You getting with me? You with me? Yeah? You can say, yes, Roy, I'm with you. All right? So here we have a period of grace, 7 days. 7 days, and then what happens? In verse 16, and God had commanded him about everything, and then the Lord shut him in. The Lord closed the door. When God closes the door, he closes the door. What I'm saying is this, God has an until, and when it happens, game over. When it's happened, it's happened. You see, in that 7 days, I believe this. I really believe this, and I'm convicted by the Holy Spirit to even preach it. There's certain things that I can't preach. There's certain things I cannot teach because, hey, it's not that clear. So there's sort of grey areas that we get from Scripture. But this, I've got a clear conviction that if any person that looked at that ark during those 7 days and said, wow, no, you finished it. If Noah said, well, come up and in, that person could have gone up the gangplank and gone onto the ark. I believe that with all my heart. If they acknowledged what Noah had done, I don't mean repent, just acknowledge, well, Noah, hey, is there room for me? I tell you, I believe there would have been. God doesn't extend 7 days of grace just just for the fact, oh, it's there. He does it because it's the nature of God. Your heavenly Father abounds in grace. But you see, grace has limitations. Grace can only be extended until God's until. Does that make sense? There is an until. And when God closed the door, even if when that rain came and they went up and they knocked on the door, Noah, let us in. Noah couldn't have let them in because God closed the door. I mean, Noah could have got a big crowbar. He could have got the elephant and said, come on, let's push this thing. He wouldn't because God closed the door. And you might think that's quite negative. It isn't. Actually, it's very profound because some of you are doing things that you, I don't know when I'm going to have to stop doing this. Well, there is coming an until. And when the until happens, I tell you, you will know this is God. You and I cannot afford to be distracted or to throw in the towel. You know, I'm sure there were days that Noah and the boys thought, I could do with a break. And maybe they did have a break. Maybe every seventh day they just chilled and they honoured the Sabbath, the Shabbat. I expect they did, you know. And maybe they did take a week off every so often. I expect. But when you get after 120 years, the job was complete. It was finished. And so I want to encourage you this morning. Maybe you're in a situation where you're just doing practical things. Well, God has an until. I just want to touch on something about ministry. Steve will know this, that for a few years I was a senior lead pastor at New Life Church out in Leeston. And before that, I was a pastor in the Baptist Church. And before that, I was a senior minister in London, in Assemblies of God Church in London. And I've been pastor of other churches. And with that comes a salary, okay? So I was full-time, I was employed. So there were benefits and there were perks. And in ministry, there comes a time where like, if you look at the life of Paul did a bit of tent making. He didn't want to be a burden on the church. So even though Paul was an apostle and signs and wonders, there were times when Paul actually worked with his hands. And at the moment, I'm actually making doors. Okay, so that's what I'm doing at the moment. Weekends like this, I'm ministering. But between Monday and Friday, okay, I'm doing tent making. Not literally tent making, but I'm doing a Paul's tent making. Now, why I'm telling you that is not to get brownie points, but if you saw me at 5 to 1 on Friday, we finish at 1 o'clock on a Friday, 5 to 1, you would see me holding a broom and I was sweeping up my area after a week. It was all filings and on the floor and I was just sweeping up my area. Now, I'm doing that because I know God has an until. All I'm doing is making myself available. So even if you find yourself sweeping a footpath, or you know, you're under a car, or you do on someone's roof, or you're doing something which you think is absolutely understand that you are available because God has an until. Don't disqualify yourself because you're busy about what you think is mundane. Don't disqualify yourself because you think, hey, what I'm doing is not very spiritual. I should be up the front preaching, etc., etc., or I should be doing this and that. No, no, no. Understand that, hey, there is things that God has an until. And when that until comes, you will just have that sense of fulfillment because you know, wow, this is the purposes of God in my life. This is my destiny. This is why I'm alive today, because of this. And it's more tangible than something that's practical because it has eternal value. So quickly on. That was Noah. Then we come to, in Genesis 19, we have the story of Lot. Okay, dear old Lot. And in Genesis 19, you know the story, what happens. Lot is told to leave Sodom and Gomorrah, right? To leave these cities. And you know, and I'm not going to get into all of that, you know it. And you know what happens to Lot's wife. So you've got Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. And we're at the stage of this. I'm breaking in Genesis 19 at verse 17, where the angels have come and they said, look, you're going to have to leave. And so what we've got, escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. So come on, Lot, take your wife, take your two girls, okay, because we've come to destroy this place, so you better go out to the plains. Now, Lot makes a good argument here, because what Lot says, he says, that's too far. I can't go all that way. That's too far. That what you're asking is just too much. So follow with me. And I wonder if any of you have said that to God. Lord, that's too hard. Have you? Have you ever said to the Lord, wow, that's too much. That costs too much. No, it goes beyond the power, for want of a word. Well, Lot's there, okay? So we see that Lot, okay, he's in this situation. Well, look, you're going to destroy the city, but what you're asking of me is too much. I can't do that. I take my daughters. It's just not going to work. Okay. So look what happens. What do we read? Okay. He says, look, how about if I escape to that mountain over there? I can make that point. I can't do the plains, but that mountain, I can make that. And this is what we have in Scripture, in verse 22 of Genesis 19. If you want to take notes, you might want to highlight this, because this is so prophetically profound for some of you this morning. Okay? Prophetically profound. This is what the angel says. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything. This is one of the angels destroys. I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar, Z-O-A-R. In the Hebrew, Zoar means insignificant or small. Get the prophetic language now. Get the prophetic metaphor. Here we have an angel saying, okay, all right, hurry to that place called Zoar, because we can't do this. We can't pour out God's judgment and wrath until you get there. There are certain things that God won't do. He will not judge the righteous with the wicked. People say to me, oh, the church is going to go through the great tribulation. No, it's not. You cannot have the church going through the great tribulation period, because he's poured out his wrath and judgment on his son, and it just makes a mockery of Calvary. Right? It makes a mockery of Calvary. Yes, the church will go through persecution, but coming under the judgment of God? No, if you're born again of the Spirit of God this morning, there is no more condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So the wrath of God will not come upon you as an individual. Amen? You must get an amen out of that. Because we deserve the judgment and the wrath of God. Come on. We do. So here we have a verse where God's plan, God's sovereignty was, we're going to destroy this city, but we can't until Lot, because you're righteous, and your wife and your two daughters, you need to leave the place Zoar. Now this speaks volumes to me personally. You see, there are things that God may require you to go or do something. And you think, well, it's too far, it's too much. Well, God, I tell you, he's a heavenly father, and he may say, well, okay, do this instead. And there comes a moment in time when God requires us to be available, and remember what availability is anchored in? It's anchored in obedience. Now, get the prophetic metaphor. Here we have Lot taking his wife and his two daughters on a journey, a very brief journey, to a place called Zoar, a place that is called small, a place of insignificance. Sometimes God will ask you to go to a place that you think, that's nothing. Why, God, do you want me to go there? That's insignificant, that's small. And so here comes the obedience. Sometimes God just wants you to be obedient to go and do something or go there. And when you look at it, you think, nah. I had that with the gypsies, you know. You see, I was made redundant. I had a very good job, a secular job, and I used to balance my secular job, this is before I went into full-time ministry, with lay preaching. So I would be preaching around London and in Kent, while I had this very lucrative job working in London. And I had to send reports to a lady called Margaret Thatcher, some of you may have heard, but I had to send a report every 6 months. So I had a very high profile, lovely job. Anyway, cut a long story short, I was made redundant. And so here I find myself 3 months on, I'm sitting in church, I've got to the stage where I don't really want to preach anymore because I'm unemployed. We could lose a house. I had three small children, okay? I was not in a good place because, hey, I think, well, where are you, God? You didn't give me a prophetic word. You didn't give me a word of knowledge that I would lose my job. You didn't give me any of that. And here I'm finding myself in a church one Sunday morning on having a pity party, really. I was feeling sorry for myself because, hey, I lost my job, I could lose my house, and that I had a good career. Okay, I don't really feel like preaching at the moment because, hey, I'm dying inside, etc., all that kind of stuff that goes through. Anyway, this particular Sunday morning, two gypsies sat behind us, and I turned around, and it was Ned and Fred, and I turned around and looked at them, and I thought, oh, my word, gypsies in the church now, what next? God blinking gypsies in the church. What's the church coming to? That's what I thought. Now, to my shame, okay, you know, I was a racist based on the fact that every experience that I had as a gypsy, as a pommy, as an Englishman raised, was a bad one. Okay, my perception of gypsies is that you don't get good gypsies because they leave a mess and they steal and all that kind of stuff. And culturally, that is still embedded into English psyche even today. Right, the Cockneys have got a saying, pikies do what you like is. See, there's a term, what they call them, pikies, and they do what they like is. You know, it's not good English, but that's it. That's the Cockney for you. Now, I mention that because there was a load of baggage that I picked up as a kid growing up, where I said to my pastor, because my pastor introduced me after the service, he says, Roy, and I ran a home group, he says, Roy, he says, here's Ned, here's Fred. Roy, Fred, Ned just lives down the road from you. He says, what we want you to do, Roy, he says, we want you to stop your home group. He says, I'll get somebody else to run your home group. I want you to go to Ned's and run a home group at his place. I said, no, I'm not doing it. They set the dogs on me. True story. And my pastor said, well, no, this is good, Roy. And Ned said to me, he says, we chain the dogs up. Make sure the dogs are chained up, right? So I was right, because I knew they had dogs. I passed it every day. I knew the side. And I thought, oh, I'm not going on that side. And so all of these fears and hang-ups, and I'm saying to my pastor, and shame on me, I was saying this to my pastor in front of these two men, Ned and Fred. This is the short version. So by Monday, I still wasn't going to go. So my pastor phones me up and wants a confirmation. Are you going to do it Wednesday, Roy? And I said, no, I don't, I'm not going to do this, Pastor. I said, if anything, I need some ministry. But he says, Roy, this will do you good. I said, do me good? I said, do me good? I says, I'm the one who wants ministry and you want me to go to see us go on a pikey site? So this is how bad it was. Now, come on, I'm being absolutely honest with you here. So Pastor said, so I said, all right, I'll pray about it. And I was genuine. I said, yes, okay, if this is what the Lord wants me to do, and I put the phone down. Anyway, I went up to just check on my son who's just gone to bed. And he'd fallen off to sleep, and there was a little, one of his books on the floor, and I picked it up to put in his little bookcase. And as I'd done it, it was the story of Jonah. And anyone who knows the story of Jonah, and the Holy Spirit just spoke to me, you know, seriously, just spoke to me, because I knew the story of Jonah. Okay, Lord, so I went. On the Wednesday I went, spitting blood. That encounter, I even shared the gospel with attitude. Have you ever seen the gospel preached with attitude? Bad attitude? Well, I perfected it. I really had. Because I went into this and there was Ned and Fred with their two families. So I said, okay, Ned, okay, all right, what do you want to know? Tell us about Jesus, you know. Okay, Jesus, the Son of God, came into the world, he said, and died on the cross. He loves you, right there. And so it was a little bit better than that. But you get it. I wasn't feeling up to it. I was just begrudgingly giving them the good news. Shame on me. And I've repented of this with tears, I tell you. Six got saved that night. Six got saved. It wasn't through my preaching. Oh, it wasn't through the anointing that was on me. Because I tell you, I was out of sorts. You know, I really was out of sorts. But here is, see, it was God's until for the gypsy community. See, God, they've been praying for 10 years in France that God would move in power amongst the gypsies in England. And it was God's until now. And so what happened, I went home crying. I said to my wife, I said, six got saved. I said, six. And I said, shame on me, right, they're lovely people. They're clean. I thought they were dirty. I said they use proper china. Don't use mugs. They use proper teas. You know, I said, you know, like your soup, lovely spoons, all really nice. And they serve you those nice little cakes. Lovely, all lovely. And you ever even get a serviette? I said, serviette? You know, it was like a revelation to me. Fast forward. Exactly a year to the month, if not the week or the day. I was standing with Ned, Fred, Davy Jones, and a few of the other boys, and we looked over a valley, and there was 5,000 gypsies parked up in this valley. It was our first mission in a place called Wisbeach. Okay, 5,000 gypsies got saved in the first year. In 3 years, we saw 23,000 gypsies get gloriously saved. You see, it was God's until. Now, why I'm sharing this, and I'm, you know, making myself look really bad, which is God's grace in my life, is this. I could have missed it. I could have missed revival. For 3 years, I spent 3 years working amongst the gypsies. Of course, without a salary, they weren't going to pay me, etc. And it wasn't because it was a job. It was just that, hey, I was available. And what I want to say to you is this. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will ask you to do something, and everything tells you, hey, this don't make sense. I don't want to do that. And God just wants you to be available, have obedience. You see, I could have missed revival. You know, I could tell you numerous times. If I told you some of the miracles I saw, you wouldn't believe me. You wouldn't. If you grab me afterwards and want to know a miracle that I saw with my own eyes, I will tell you. But hey, I'm telling you, God heals today, big time. Okay? He transformed a whole community. And so that was a journey I went on. So fast forward on, God has an until. And maybe he's requiring you to go somewhere or do something that you know is very insignificant, right? And maybe you're even spitting blood because it goes against the grain. Maybe even it goes against your culture or your upbringing. And you think, well, this is not really me. Most important thing I would say to you is be obedient. And finally, Joshua. This is important. Now you know the story of the walls of Joshua. Here we have, okay, the story where the children of Israel have been every day for 6 days walking around a city once. And they're walking around the city. Now there'll be some times when God asks you to do things that you don't understand why he's asking you to do it. There'll be people that will say to you, what God's asked you to do is silly or it's wrong. Okay, they may even mock you. Right? They might mock you and say, what you do? What? You don't do that today. Look, we're in the 21st century. Why are you doing that? And here we have a group of people that walked around a city one lap every day for 6 days. And they just all they were doing was walking. And they wasn't speaking. Day seven comes along, and we're getting closer and closer to the until. Those people were the ones that started on day one, had done it 6 times. Now this day, we're going to do it 7 times. And they walked around the city 7 times. And again, when you walk around, keep your mouth and south shut. You know, north and south, keep it shut, close. Don't say anything. Now, I think there is a reason why Joshua told them to keep quiet. Okay, there's a spiritual reason. And this is just this is a side note. I think it is because their mouths, okay, their murmurings and bickerings got them in the wilderness for 40 years. In the wilderness, they murmured and complained. Even when they came out of Egypt, they soon murmured and complained that everything was better back in Egypt. And they'd only been out a few days, and they murmured and complained. All right? And so here we have a generation that could easily be like the previous generation that will murmur and complain. And Joshua says, do this. This is what God wants you to do. Just shut up. Keep it shut. And sometimes it's very important that you understand and I understand that when God wants you to do something that you think is absolutely ridiculous, stupid, and it's off the wall, okay, there's a very tendency to have a little moan, have a little complain, and to bicker. Oh, I don't know why they want to do this. Why they want me to do that? You know, and we can go on. And you know this. It happens. Human nature. So what happens? You know the story. They come round. Lap 7 on the 7th day, And where do we find? We find this thing happened. That in this verse here, in Joshua, let me get to Joshua. Here we go. Here we have, it says this. He says in verse 10, he commanded him, "You shall not shout, make a noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall." Because there is coming an until when, hey, the rubber hits the road, where you stand up and be counted for what God has called you to do, and then you shout. And of course, you know what happened. And so the people shouted and they blew the trumpets. Verse 20. And it happened as they shouted and blew the trumpets with a great shout that the wall fell down. Supernaturally, God stepped in. Do you know, I honestly believe this with all my heart. There's coming a time, right, where the church has got to stand up and be counted. So many churches, so many pastors are not saying what need to be said because they don't want to be ridiculed or find that they're strange or weird. Listen, hear me. I believe every single one of us will come to that place where things are happening in the world and things that we know are wrong become normal and sin becomes, you know, licensed, etc. And so when you put your head above the parapet and you say, actually, this is wrong, you get a whole wash of stuff coming at you where it can intimidate you, that closes you down, and you do not want to say anything at all. And so we're coming to a stage where God has an until. Do you know what Billy Graham said back in 1968? This is what Billy Graham said way back in 1968 on a radio broadcast. So it wasn't something that's in a book. It was on a radio broadcast. He said this, and hold on to your chairs. This is way back in 1968. He said this. Things are so bad, he says, if God doesn't judge this world soon, he has to resurrect Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize. That was Billy Graham way back in 1968. Now, hey, I just throw that out there. There's a lot more going on than what I've just said. There comes a time where there's certain things of truth. You know, and you're going to find a backlash regarding what's happening in Gaza. Okay, you're going to hit a backlash. I tell you, the church is going to really feel it. And maybe all God wants, God's got an until. Hear me. Okay, the Bible's clear what he's going to do with Israel. The whole world is going to turn against Israel. The whole world. You want to know the catalyst that brings Jesus back? Okay, it's not your faith or the evangelism of the world. Read it in Matthew 24. It's clear as day. Right, he has to intervene or else Israel will be annihilated. The reason Jesus comes back is to keep his covenant with Abraham. People don't like to hear that. Now, I'm not condoning what's going on in Gaza. But here, we're living in days, understand this, that we're living in days where God, the Holy Spirit, may ask you to do something. And in the sense of our climate, or in the sense of our culture, it will alienate you from a lot of people, maybe even loved ones. And all God requires you is just to shut up and speak when you need to be spoken up. And there's going to come a time where you and I will have to stand up and be counted. You see, God has an until. And so as I close, I've gone over my time. I believe with all my heart that, hey, that God wants his people available. He's not looking for super spiritual people. He's not looking for individuals that have got buckets and buckets of faith and oozing with gifts and talents. Is looking for people that are walking in obedience and that are available for his until. And see, every single one of you has an until in your life. Make sure when that day happens that you're not found distracted, that you're not found, okay, busy with other things, because the Lord desires to fulfill his purposes in your life. And so there's those three areas, as I just conclude. There's that whole practical thing, doing practical things, and you think, wow, this can't be very spiritual. Be available. Keep doing it, because God has an until. There is that claim where God must be asking you to go somewhere, requiring you to go something or to do something, and you think, well, it's so insignificant. It's very small, right? I'm not going to get recognition with that. Be obedient. Because there is an until. And finally, comes a time where, hey, maybe things are happening in our life. We don't understand why, Lord, you want us to do this. And we've got to do it, and without murmuring, without bickering, without complaining, we keep silent. But there comes a time where then we have to stand. God requires his people to stand up and declare the truth. And that's what's required of all of us. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Okay. Father, I thank you for this opportunity of sharing your word with you. And Father, I thank you that you're a good God. And Father, each of us are on our own personal journeys with you. Father, some are struggling with practical, mundane stuff. Others are struggling with their giftings, their purpose. Father, some of us, Lord, are struggling with standing up and being counted because of fear of man or whatever. But Father, I thank you that you always have an until where you will step in, where you come and do your stuff, where you move in power. And so, Father, I just pray for everyone here this morning that we will be truly available, that we will not be distracted in those days, in those times when, Father, you're about to fulfill your purposes, not only in our own lives, but in the life of our nation and in the life of this world. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I'm just going to make a brief appeal. I'm not going to lay hands on people and prophesy over people, but we're going to have a bit of music. I just want to keep an attitude of prayer at the moment. I want to put a challenge. If God has really spoken to you this morning through this word, I'm going to ask you just to come to the front and stand at the front and just say, Lord, I'm physically moving to the front because I genuinely are going to make myself available. And so it's really what it's you consecrating yourself afresh. Now, I don't know what it's going to look like in the days and the weeks ahead. All right. Maybe you've this conflict going on even now. Well, God just requires us to consecrate. So I'm just going to, I think you're going to put a bit of music on. I'm not going to prolong this. But as you come and stand at the front, after we've stood at the front for a little bit, give it to the Lord. I'm then going to pray for you corporately as a group that God will empower you by the Holy Spirit, okay, to fulfill all that he has for you. Okay, all that he has for you. So I don't want you to come to the front just to scratch an itch kind of thing. But if you know that, hey, things are going on in your life where you know, hey, I need to be available. I need to speak out. I need to stand up. Or I need to go and do that for Mrs. Smith or Fred or Bert or whoever. Okay, I just want you to come forward and say, look, I am consecrating that to you. I'm giving it to you. So let's just do that now. Okay. Amen. Yeah, that's what. Just come to the front, look to the front, that's it. Move forward. As you stand, just close your eyes and just give your life to the Lord, okay? Just run it through your mind, the situation. Okay, what you're dealing with, yeah? See, God knows. You don't have to explain anything to the Lord knows. So as you just let it run in your spirit through your mind, standing there, just think about it. It could be mundane. See, I believe that every single one of you standing here have already been anointed, already empowered. The key is being available through obedience. And even if you're standing there and you're thinking, right, I don't really have the goods. I don't have the experience. I don't have the know-how. God doesn't ask for that. Remember Moses at the burning bush. I can't speak, etc. You've heard of various messages on that. Think about that for a moment. You're not standing here because you're qualified as that you've got all the gifts and the anointing. You're standing here because you're making yourself available. All Father requires from you right now as I'm about to pray is obedience. Obedience not just now, so when you walk out the door, but obedience until God's until. And for you, it might be a journey of weeks, months, it might even be years. Dare I say it, years of being available. So I'm going to pray. And as I pray, consecrate it to the Lord. What I mean by that, say, Lord, I'm giving myself, no strings attached. I'm not making any deals with you, Lord. I'm just saying, as it is, whatever it looks like, whatever the cost, however long, this is my act of worship to you, Lord. All right? Heavenly Father, I thank you for those that are standing here. Now, Lord, you know by the power of your Holy Spirit why they stand here, what's going on in their own lives. Lord, you know the journey they've been on. Lord, you know the hits they've taken. You know the battles that they've been going through. You know what they're even at this time wrestling with. And so I pray, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you empower them afresh, that they can walk in obedience, that they will be available for your until when you implement your purpose in their lives. And so, Father, I just seal it on their lives right now by the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that the devil will not rob them of this right now. As they stand here, the devil will not come and plague their minds. And so I take authority over the lies of the enemy that would seek to distract you as you stand there right now. And so, Father, I pray in the coming days, you will give them, Father, each of them, Lord, a word of confirmation, that there will be a confirmation that, Lord, that, hey, Father, that you are at work in their lives and even in this situation, that you're at work, that, Lord, your hand is upon them. And so, Father, I just seal it on their lives, that the Holy Spirit will work in their lives, that, Father, they will fulfill their purpose and their destiny in you, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, bless you. As you go back to your seats, just believe how you walk in that freedom. Believe it. Okay, amen.
Thank you so much, Roy. We're going to close out the service there this morning. If you would like further prayer for anything, feel free to come to the front of the church. We'd love to pray with you. Otherwise, do stay and have a cup of tea or coffee. And a reminder, we'd love to see you on Wednesday night to pray together as a church for what God has for each one of us. God bless you all. Have a great week.
Amen.
Oh.